670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
This is a 60-yard attempt. It would be a new career long for Boswell. For the lead, sweeps the leg, 60-yarder! He's got it! Pittsburgh goes in front with 1:03 on the clock.
Chris Boswell looking for cash. And that's because the dude is money. Mike Tomlin called him a serial killer. And Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Mark Caboli was there to cover all the action for the Pat McAfee Show and for us at 93.7 The Fan. Mark, what happened? You were supposed to fly out of New York this morning. It turns out you're at home, but now you don't have a car. Is everything okay?
Actually, I'm supposed to be boarding in 13 minutes, so we're going to have to make this quick. Well, what a trip from HELL, right? At least travel-wise.
So you're back in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, this is okay. We'll make the old quick version of this.
Yeah.
Flight was canceled late Saturday. They automatically rebooked me to 6 a.m. on Sunday. So, you know, wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, get there, no problems there, land straight to the stadium, got there about 8:30, did the whole shebang or whatever. So I didn't get to check into my hotel yet because, you know,
you had to go straight to the stadium.
From the airport.
Yeah.
Came straight from the airport. Couldn't go the day before because they canceled the flight unexpectedly. So I get a ride over to the hotel about 7:30, walk in. They're like, "We don't have a reservation for you."
Oh, my goodness.
"What are you talking about?" I'm like, "I prepaid the reservation." She goes, "Oh, you were a no-show yesterday. So even though you prepaid, we listed you as a no-show and sold your room." I'm like, "How can you sell my room if I already prepaid for it?" So I'm like screaming at her and yelling at her. I'm really irritated and agitated. And she basically told me to go stick it. So I got a very limited opportunity. Sure, I can just book another room, but that the principal is not going to allow me to do that.
No, you can't. You're right on that.
It's just not going to allow me to do this. At this point, I'm thinking, what were my options? The Trib guys are just leaving the East Rutherford or the MetLife Stadium. Let me call them up. I called them up. And I'm like, I have to make a split decision. I'm like, I'll just ride home with you guys. So I rode home with those guys, realizing that my car is still at the airport. So I drove here. We got in about 4 a.m. I fell asleep for about an hour. It was about an hour of sleep in 30-some hours. I'm irritated. I'm calling every hotel room just to start to yell at them, and they won't listen to me. They won't pick up their phone. So I will win this one. I will get this money back.
Yeah, they know how to take the reservation. They don't know how to hold
you
the reservation.
Funny thing you said that. The great Chaz Palla told me the same thing.
Yep, you got to quote Seinfeld in that situation. All right, Mark.
So, here we are. Boom.
Here we are on a victory Monday. Steelers 34, Jets 32. The only guy that thought this would look like a shootout is sitting across from me in Doran Dickerson. Mark, we'll start broad and we'll zoom narrow. Your biggest takeaway from game one?
Well, it has to be Aaron Rodgers, right? Just the way he was able to command the offense, the way he felt comfortable, the way he threw the ball. That's something you haven't seen in Pittsburgh in 5, 6, 7 years, maybe pre-Ben elbow injury type of situation here. I mean, let's hope, for the Steelers' sake, that's just not him trying to stick it up the Jets' rear end here, and it's a one-time affair. Let's hope that it's more of just how he's playing right now. But absolutely, I mean, regardless of anything else with this team was, unless you had above average to great quarterback play, this team wasn't going to go anywhere. And, everybody was shocked. I mean, I wouldn't say I was shocked, but I think a lot of people at MetLife Stadium were somewhat shocked.
Roger Jones, Mark, give us your assessment. What do you think happens moving forward, and how long of a leash does he have?
I think he has a longer leash. I mean, it wasn't ideal for him. I mean, not everything was his fault, I don't believe. Some of those situations where there was getting pressure the other way that allowed him to give up the sack, but that's not making any excuses for him that he didn't play well whatsoever. The only really option you have is just to give him help, right? Tight ends, running backs, chips. I mean, that's all you got. I mean, I don't think you're really going down that Calvin Anderson route right yet. And I don't know if Andres Pete's that guy that can bounce out there at his age right now. You just hope he gets a little bit better here. And he did get a little bit more exposed here yesterday. What was it? At least three sacks. Like I said,
three sacks, five pressures. The middle of the three, I thought was a coverage sack, but even still, he got turned around. And we had Trey Essex on in the last hour, Mark.
He was hammering him, wasn't he?
He said, I don't know how Broderick Jones gets better because his technique is so bad. And he also added, he did not look like an NFL left tackle. He held nothing back on Broderick Jones.
Well, he's very tiny. I mean, he's very trim. He's not going to hold up to, you know, the bigger, faster lineman right now. So, like I said, the only thing you can do is slide the right line his side or help out in some other way. Or hope he gets better. And I don't know. We've already been down that path right now of him getting better. But, it's not a good situation right now with depth. But, you have to roll your dice with him because he is still the best you got.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because we talked to Trey about this too. You need him to develop, and you don't want to pull the carpet out from him after one or two games. That being said, he plays that way again moving forward. Aaron Rodgers ain't finishing the season, man.
No. I mean, he took a couple big hits, and you can't allow a 41-year-old quarterback to do that. But I really appreciate you, Adam, bringing up the negativity of the game after they just won a game. So I appreciate that. I might be rubbing off on you two guys.
Well, what do you think Mike Tomlin's going to do today? You think he's going to be handing out roses, or you think he's going to be ripping everybody left and right? Because Aaron Rodgers was above the line. I thought Calvin Austin, DK Metcalf, Chris Boswell, all above the line. Jalen Ramsey had the big play at the end. Other than that, I think everyone else played pretty poorly.
Everybody?
For the most part, I think there was more bad than good, certainly defensively.
I thought Chuck Clark played well in the absence of Elliott. I don't think Thornhill played terribly. I mean, did you mention Gainwell? I thought Gainwell played well. What he was asked to do. I don't think the tight ends were much involved in the game plan, which was kind of surprising to me a little bit. So, I mean, there was a lot of good, but there was some bad as well. But as long as your quarterback keeps playing like that, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference.
Well, Mark, I wanted to ask you about Gainwell. How do you explain the snap counts? Gainwell had seven carries. I think Jalen Warren had 11. What do you look into that for? Like, why so many snaps for him?
I think that was game plan specific, just to the Jets for some reason. They must have saw something there. I mean, talking to Gainwell after he sounded like a guy that knew that he was going to get some added numbers this week. So I don't know if that's going to be moving forward at all. Would he have 10 touches altogether? And, you know, most of Jalen Warren stuff came later too. It's not like that was early. It was mostly Gainwell. So I don't know if I want him to be my bell cow back right now, but he's very good at what he's able to do there. So I wouldn't anticipate that moving forward that number would be like that. I just think that the whatever they saw in the Jets defense, they liked Gainwell's ability over, you know, more than not Jalen.
When we come back, we're going to get into the ball distribution, wide receiver two, if you will. I'll also talk about the myriad of – my I just sound like Mike Tomlin over here. The myriad of defensive issues that the Steelers put on tape yesterday. That's all on the way. Mark Caboli with us, the final hour of the program. And you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
I like when we can just open up the microphones and hear Caboli snoring into the mic. Slept 1 hour in the last 34. Our youth football. And now he's burping. Was that a burp?
No, you know, the problem is Crowley, I got a head cold too, man. Come on.
Well, that's going to happen whenever you don't sleep for three straight days. Our youth football showcase recap is brought to you by Steel City Shredding and Saloni's Italian Bread. Our guy Dan Zangrilli was in Monaca this weekend, Doran, heart of Beaver County, the Little Warriors from Central Valley. And listen, I stopped keeping score. Central Valley was up 37-0 late in the third quarter. They were hitting some big plays in that game. If you want one of us, like Dan Zangrilli, or me, or Nicholas Harry-Callis, to come out to your youth sports showcase, your youth sports football game, just email youthsports@937thefan.com. The only reason I didn't include you is because you'll be at your son's game.
Or a pick game, yep.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
Your son had a day.
Yeah, he did.
Two tutties,
200 yards, yep.
I heard it was 250 on 10 carries. A texter actually wrote that in earlier.
Yeah, probably that.
Oh, my God.
Yep, 10 carries.
It's like Breece Hall.
Yeah. Yeah, right against the Steelers defense. Yep.
Which we will get into the Steelers defense first, though. Mark, I got to give you credit, man, at least through one game, you have banged the Calvin Austin III drum more than anybody in the media. And he goes out, four catches, 70 yards, draws a pass interference penalty, probably should have drawn another pass interference penalty. Wide receiver two, question mark?
I mean, I think for at least one game, he's really quieted the critics there of needing that wide receiver too. I mean, he does what I was expecting him to do. Is just his quickness, his ability to run the routes, ability. People just can't keep up with him. He got good hands. He's a good complement to Metcalf. He's a good complement to the tight ends as well. Is he going to put up 4 for 70 and a touchdown every game? No. But he's capable of doing it, and I think that's what we saw yesterday, that at any point he can put up those numbers as well. I mean, that's what's interesting about this offense just in general, in my eyes. Okay, DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin had good games. Next week it could be Darnell Washington, and the week after that it could be Jalen Warren, or it could be Jonnu Smith, or it could be a multitude of different players here. And I think Artie Smith is not getting enough credit for being able to design an offense, at least call play calling yesterday, that was very successful. I think two plays, the Austin touchdown, I believe maybe the other one was like the same play.
Skoronic, yeah.
Yeah, he was in tune with him. And it's funny how good an offensive coordinator can be when you have a quarterback and some players. So I think he did well too.
Mark, a guy that you didn't mention, Roman Wilson. You know, he didn't get a target. He was out there but didn't get a target. Do you think that he could take that week one to week two growth where we see him get some targets this upcoming game?
I don't know. It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be interesting to see how he accepts the fact that he didn't get many snaps, didn't get any targets, and Calvin Austin was able to perform like he has. Does that motivate him, or does that just put him in the shell and say, you know, whatever? I don't know. I don't think he would give up or anything like that. But I think that's a big week, big jump from week one to two to see how he is. I mean, he's still a very raw and young player. We all know that. He is talented, but there's only so many balls that can go around. I mean, you want to get the ball to DK Metcalf as much as possible because you saw, I mean, the catch and run on Metcalf.
My God.
Where was he going? The guy's like 6'4", 230, and he's running 21, 22 miles per hour? Imagine trying to catch that sucker. I mean, I think it's a good problem to have. I just like to see how he reacts to that because he's so young and has nothing but adversity since he's been here. So it's going to be a big key, I think. He needs some positivity to happen against Seattle, I think.
We talk about Arthur Smith, who had himself a day. He was in his bag, so to speak. I also give him a ton of credit. I'm sure Rodgers is responsible for some of this too, for not just continuing to run the ball when it's clear that they could not run the ball. But this is something that was a problem in training camp that we've talked to you about, something that, yeah, they didn't have a ton of reps in the preseason, that they couldn't get going the running game. And then yesterday was, what, 2.7 yards per carry. What is the biggest issue, in your opinion, with the running game, and do you think they'll be able to sort it out?
I don't think it's the running backs. I think it's just a matter of getting these guys on that same page. It seems to happen every single year, too. It takes them a month, month and a half to really gel together. And this is even after they've practiced together for some time. This year they didn't practice. They practiced together, but they never took any meaningful reps as this group and this unit. And I think that's significant as well. Plus, I mean, for how flawed the Jets might be, that front four is pretty decent.
Sure.
So I think I was anticipating a struggle in a run game early in the season. And I think by the time we get to that October, I think we'll, especially if they continue with the same group of guys, I think we'll start seeing better and better running plays, better, more pretty productivity out of those guys. So I wouldn't really sound the alarm, but right now it's just offensive line. I don't think it's anything else. I don't think it's running backs. Those guys are capable, more than capable.
Were you impressed with Justin Fields?
Yeah, I was. You know what? I just kept waiting for the Justin Fields to turn into Justin Fields, and he really never did. However, asking you guys, if you ever was there any cornerback within like 2 yards of any receiver ever of the Jets yesterday, or is that just me just feeling that way? I mean, there were.
You're talking about at
throws.
Okay, I didn't know if you meant at the snap or as right. The play progressed. No, I mean, there wasn't a ton of tight coverage. I will say, though, I thought the linebackers had pretty decent coverage a couple times in the middle of the field, and Fields feathered him in there.
Yeah, he did.
He threw
some good passes.
He
man.
Did.
Yes, he did. He did. But, you know, maybe they did the old Tebow game to him. I figured he was eventually going to screw up.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just play our defense, let him get some throws. Eventually he's going to screw up, and he didn't. I mean, if you're the Jets right now, you might have lost that game, but you're probably feeling pretty good about your quarterback situation. But I'm still not sold on him. I'm surprised that he was able to do what he was doing because I don't remember a poor throw by Fields the entire game.
He played better yesterday than he played at any point as a Steeler.
Maybe as his career.
You might be right about
honestly,
that.
Honestly, throwing the ball for sure.
Fan Morning Show Twitter polls brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. The question: do you feel better or worse about the Steelers after seeing them play a game? What do you think, Mark?
I think I feel a lot better because I think this defense will eventually – I mean, this defense can very well come out against Seattle and shut them down, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is that $160 million defense. Always the big question to me was, what is this offense going to be like? Are they going to be, you know, nickel and dime it, scoring 7 points if you're lucky? I don't know if that answered it yesterday, but at least shows you that they have the capabilities to put up 25, 28, 30 points per game. So I think it worked out perfectly. If one side of the ball was going to struggle yesterday, I would have wanted it to be the defense because I still think the defense has just too much talent to stink. So I think they'll eventually turn it around really quickly. We always had questions with the offense, with the new guys, and I think some of those questions were answered yesterday. So I feel a little bit better about about him now, even though the defense gave up, what did they give up, 450 yards and another 200-yard rushing game, or close to it.
Close to it. I actually think Rodgers played the best game out of any quarterback in the NFL all weekend.
Better than Joe Burrow? Boy, he looked awful.
He always does early on. They're early, lucky to get out of there with the dub, and it wasn't because of him, in my opinion. I just think when you consider what Rodgers had to deal with, get sacked four times, constantly under pressure, no running game, and he still threw four touchdowns, and I'll grade on a curve because, A, he's our guy, and, B, he's 41 years old. He was outstanding yesterday. And if he can do – we talked about this, Doran. There's going to be five or six games – you hope this year where he can look like vintage Rodgers.
There's one.
There's one, and if he was anything less than that, they lose the football game.
Yep.
Yes. You know, I like his ability to set up the screen game, too. I mean, we haven't seen screens in a decade, and now you're doing tight end screens, receiver screens, running back screens, easy throws, get it out of your hand, get a ball into your playmaking's hands.
And you know what? Not to cut you off, but I'm going to cut you off. How many times these last – 5 years has second and 12 meant drives over.
Yes.
Sack on the first drive and they score a touchdown. At the end, when they needed to score to win, they have the bad screen. So I think you start off at second and 14 or whatever it is, and you still go down the field and you're able to get in the field goal range and kick the ball. And so there's 10 points there on drives that would have been dead in any of the previous last 5 years. Hey, you don't feel like the drive is over when you take a negative play on first down, which, oh my God, we haven't been able to say that in about half a decade. All right, we'll keep.
They overcame some adversity, too. You think about it, the non-call on Calvin Austin, the goofy call on Jalen Ramsey that end up turning into four extra points where he's just trying to tackle him. He's not trying to take out the guy's legs, the lead blocker.
I was surprised that Ramsey didn't wind up getting 30 yards of penalties there because I thought he was going to flip out because it was such an absurd call.
Yeah, I would love to know what he says because those guys get so mad at him. He must have like a Rolodex of
things. Oh, you didn't see it because you were there, but I mean, they had the camera on him at, like right before halftime when they were walking off the field, and he probably said 1,000 words. His mouth was didn't stop. He was just like, I mean, who knows what he was saying, but he just runs his mouth all the time. That would make me so frustrated if I was a player.
And he backed it up too.
Yep.
And he backed it up to the guy he was jawing with most of the game, Garrett Wilson. All right, we'll continue talking about the defense. We'll get Mark's thoughts on Cam Hayward's sweetener. That won't be a sweetener unless the Steelers do something they haven't done in a very long time. That's all on the way. Segment brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Oh, just making plans for the backyard brawl. Pressure's off of me. I feel great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have zero pressure.
You win. Hey, whoa, you did the thing. You lose. Well, you lost to Ohio. No, it hurts.
You're going
to
drive an hour and 20 minutes.
Just hang out with my friends.
Watch your team lose. Make an hour and 20 minute trip.
No, Harry, you were wrong.
Okay.
It'll only take me about an hour. Mark Caboli with us now on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Mark, I contend that the Steelers did exactly the right thing with Cam Hayward. They made the guy sweat. They didn't give him anything guaranteed. It's tied to playoff wins, so you didn't necessarily set a precedent that you didn't want to set, and the next guy who asks ain't going to have the Cam Hayward resume, and they know that Cam sweat, so they're sure as heck going to sweat. I think they played it exactly the right way.
Yeah, and the thing is, this probably was on the table from the beginning. I mean, he was probably waiting until the last moment and finally said, okay, I'll just take this. And, you know, these national people that put this out there when it happened – must think we're stupid, you know, got the deal done. No, he got nothing. He got absolutely nothing more guaranteed whatsoever. And they must think we're stupid enough to believe that they did. The thing is with him is I'm thinking, I kept thinking, why are they trying to play hardball with Cam Hayward? Just give him a couple million bucks. What's the big deal, right? If it's going to make him happy a little bit. But I would assume, and I'm just assuming this, that guaranteed money he got in March Like, we're not giving you guaranteed money twice now.
Right.
Without even playing another snap. Maybe if he just had a contract that was, you know, 1 year there for like $12 million or $13 million, they would have maybe bumped him up a little bit. But that's double dipping right there, man. So I think he tried to save face at the end there. I felt bad for him because, I mean, we're not stupid. We know that's happened, but I assume that's what happened. I mean, he didn't want to talk about it yesterday. He said he will eventually talk about it, probably on his podcast. But
he did. That's the right thing, by the way. Your team just won a football game. Don't make it about you. I thought he handled that well.
No, he wasn't an idiot.
Yeah.
He wasn't an idiot. He just said, oh, with all due respect, I'll talk about it at a later time. But I'm just wondering if it was on the table from the beginning. I would assume, hey, this is what we're doing. Take or leave it. You get to that point. And what even stinks even more for that, if you're Cam Hayward, is Aaron Rodgers got a heck of a lot more incentives than you did, all tied to playoff success and playoff playing time as well. So, I mean, okay, what's the best case scenario for the Steelers? Really? Make the playoffs, maybe win a game. What's that, an extra potential $1 million? I think the messaging of the whole thing on Friday was awful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just a couple of things he said just didn't – you don't say if you have $170 million in the bank.
I think he could get away with saying – because I've said this a million times, and I agree wholeheartedly with this. You have one body. You're doing the thing you're best at. Yeah. You want to get as much as you possibly can, earn as much as you possibly can. Can't disagree with that at all. It's the family stuff that's just not going to resonate with people who are making $20 an hour. It just isn't.
Yeah. You know, you're going to discount store to buy like 3-day-old bread, and he's worried about his family that has, we can see you got $170 million career earnings in 10 years. I mean, he should have just came out and said, I want to be paid what I'm worth, and everybody like, yep, okay, great. But don't be start saying I got to take care of my family, because there's a lot of people, if not everybody listening to him, that cannot relate to you. Cannot.
Mark, Deshaun Elliott might be out. Joey Porter Jr. might be out. What do they do on the back end this week?
Yeah, I think Porter has a hamstring. They said they're going to be cautious, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same cautious they're going to be with Nick Herbig, right? 6 weeks later or whatever it's been. So we'll see how that works out. Elliott, same thing. I would imagine if it is somewhat long-term, not even long-term, they'd have to bring somebody back up, maybe like Pierre again and play him.
Right now it would be Eccles.
Right?
Eccles made a couple of huge plays in that game.
Yeah, it would be Eccles.
He can tackle Ramsey, for a little guy.
Slay. Yeah, I mean, he's that's surprising the Jets didn't want him back either, to be honest with you. I mean, he's looked good ever since he's been here right now. But Ramsey's a guy, he said yesterday, that he's played first time in his career in a single game. He played all three positions, slot, inside, safety. That's another thing that's just, I mean, you just don't see that
and he
often, if ever.
Lowered the boom to win the football game. All right, one more segment with Mark Caboli coming up next. Wait until you hear about the back page of the New York Post. As a Steelers fan, you can't ask for anything better. We'll explain when we come back.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference. It can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin and Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. Austin Bechtold came in here, city limits, trying to talk junk on my Mountaineers, and he coughed up a lung.
Yep.
My man, I mean, we're similarly shaped. He looks like he lost like 30 pounds last week.
He looks skinny.
He looks awful. Sounds terrible. Looking forward to hearing him with Starkey. All right. Yins are going to love this. The back page of the New York Post. Picture Aaron Rodgers celebrating, the one that gave us chills, Doran. And it says, so now he can play. But that's not the best part. The best part is the top of the back page, which says, Russ watch already on. Dable won't commit to Wilson after stinker in Giants opening loss. All you need is Justin Fields in the bottom left saying, hey, we actually weren't that bad even though we won, and it would have been the perfect holy triumvirate for Steelers fans. I thought Fields played great. Russ did not. That team sucks.
Yep.
They're not going to win a game
for weeks.
Yeah, until like late October, if then. Yeah. I think Russ will probably play next week, though. I'd be shocked.
Yes.
Yeah, I heard Jack Ham really likes Jackson Dart. That was my rip on Starkey.
Starkey, you can't hurt Starkey today because he saw his quarterback throw for 251 yards in the fourth quarter yesterday.
Starkey's going to stand up on the table and beat his chest. So, Mike Tomlin says this is an invincible defense, huh?
Well, Mark, he should. They were talking about how this is the greatest defense since the dawn of time. Yeah. And
you know what?
They stunk.
You know why?
Why?
You know why, right?
Finish your sentence.
Well, I just went to the black screen and I'm like frozen. So
we can still hear you even though you're frozen.
Okay. He wanted to put pressure on them because he thought they were talented enough. This was by one Bob Labriola maybe a week or so ago in his Q&A with Tomlin, saying he felt that he needed to have them work for something. So he purposely put that out there to try to motivate them to be the best that they can be. That's what he said.
Fair enough. And you talked to Patrick Queen yesterday, who wasn't sugarcoating nothing.
Yeah. All I said to him was, hey, Patrick, he's a great quote. How do you compartmentalize of winning the game plus giving up all those yards? And he just like cut me off and he said what he said, you know.
Kaboli, I'm sorry. I'm too immature to be able to handle this. It looks like you are. It looks like you are frozen mid prostate exam on the YouTube here. I mean, all right. Mark, thank you for your time.
What happened? I blame Harry Callis for this.
It's not his fault. Go get some sleep.
It's how I looked last night on the way home in the back of the car with Buzzsaw Adamski laying in my lap almost with his back. He pushed his chair all the way back. Said, "You okay?" I'm like, "Buzzsaw, your entire chair's in my lap." And that's what I look like. Okay.
Who's taking you to the airport today to get your car, Mark?
What you doing later there, Adam?
I'm sorry, the audio appears to have frozen as well. We'll have to cut you loose, Mark. Thank you.
All right, we'll see you guys.
See you, Mark.
Thanks for being a good sport and coming on. He couldn't have froze in a funnier way. All right, this was great. I love when they win. I love when they win and you can criticize them.
Yes.
And I think Tomlin feels the same way. Like, film breakdown's going to be uncomfortable, but you got victory. And you're supposed to improve your most from week one to week two, Doran. Is that something you believe in?
Absolutely.
Well, the friggin' Mountaineers must really suck then.
This is going to be a fun week.
Friggin' Mac team. We turned them over 3 times and still lost to a Mac team.
You guys suck.
Yeah. You can't hurt me. I know.
And look who's coming. Pitt. Yay.
I hope we put up 90 points against you guys.
Our defense looked pretty good.
What?
The defense looked good. They were on the field for 43 minutes because Rich Rod can't coach anymore, I guess.
Gave up 17 to Ohio. Okay.
Yeah. 17's fine. They're on the field the whole game. Yards per play, 3 turnovers.
I guess the offense made their defense look good then, too.
Take it every time. Friggin' did you see their locker room at Ohio? It's smaller than our studio. Friggin' stupid old AD schedules a game. At Ohio, idiot. All right, we'll have some fun with all this. Backyard Brawl Week. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 5:40. Starkey up next. Goodbye. Oh, wait, no, fan weather. Brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's dark and rainy inside my soul, but it's 72 and clear skies today in Pittsburgh.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.